Hey, y'all, if you've been enjoying the show, take a moment to drop us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. We always love to see your feedback. You can also share an episode with a friend who you think would enjoy it. The Arizona Coyotes are on the move. We're looking back on the WNBA draft and forward to the NBA play-in tournament, and we're getting a peek at what it's like to look after the Stanley Cup as it travels around the world. It's Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. The first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the league is entering a new era with the arrival of Caitlin Clark. Joining me now to discuss is Front Office Sports breaking news reporter, live from the draft at Brooklyn Academy of Music, Alex Schiffer. Welcome, Alex.
What's going on, Owen? Shout out to Liz, this stranger who found this empty office space for me to talk to you.
It is remarkably quiet in what I imagine. Actually, that's going to be my first question, is what's the scene like? What was it like, you know, when Caitlin walked up? Just give me a lay of the land here.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be too cliche here with like the Beatles metaphor, but that's kind of what it's felt like a little bit, especially just compared to the only other WNBA draft I've covered, which was in 2019. You know, the theater, it's kind of looks like almost like an opera house, Brooklyn Academy of Music. You know, I've joked with some of our editors that, you know, the two Muppets that are in the theater joking, like they have like those types of seats. And, you know, as each draft room invitee got off the bus, in front of BAM, you know, there was about a couple dozen fans on each side yelling and screaming and cheering and asking for autographs. You know, you don't really see the dynamic like that with other drafts just because usually they're held indoors, or there's, you know, the NFL draft, since it's kind of moved around a little bit, you know, still there's mostly like a designated area. So it's not every day you kind of see like a draft kind of taking place on the streets in some ways. So it's been cool to kind of see the attendance and the reception. And you kind of wonder, is this built for maybe a bigger venue than this at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. And staying with Clark for a moment, obviously she was the number one pick going to the Indiana Fever. What was her, did you learn anything about her from her brief moment on stage?
I learned that State Farm is more than just the official draft sponsor of the WNBA, as Jake from State Farm was waiting for Caitlin Clark once she got behind the curtain, which was quite the marketing play. But, you know, in her press conference, it was interesting. She was talking a little bit about how, you know, she has a documentary with Peyton Manning's crew, Omaha Productions, and how she's an executive producer for it, and she's really encouraging everyone to watch. She thinks it's going to be really big for the game. So, you know, what's impressive to me about her, and this was my first time dealing with her in person, is just that, you know, she has all these expectations on her, but she seems to handle them about as well as she can. Like, I wouldn't want to play poker against Caitlin Clark because I feel like she would take some of my money. Like, if she's feeling the pressure, she has a great job of, like, hiding it from us, because she's very good at just kind of staying in the moment and being chill.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense just from, you know, seeing her on the court. So WNBA Kathy Engelbert obviously had some words to say, and it sounded like she was kind of pointing toward a new era for the league.
Yeah, you know, she was talking about expansion. Obviously, there's a team coming your way in the Bay Area next year. She pulled an Elaine Bennett. She named names with other cities they're looking at: Toronto, Philadelphia, South Florida, Tennessee, Portland. I might be missing a couple, but they're in my story if you read it. Shameless plug. And so I thought it was interesting how she was kind of putting it all out there of, we're looking to get to 16 teams by 2028 or so. You know, the Golden State team is 13. And she's also talking about the new media rights deal. You know, our colleague Mike McCarthy previously reported that the WNBA could seek its own media deal. And she didn't really deny that. She said, you know, we'll negotiate with the NBA if it makes sense, and we'll not if it makes sense. So I thought she was pretty transparent about some of the biggest things that are on their plate in the coming months and years.
You know, they know their value, and they know they're more valuable than they've ever been.
This is a huge year for the league. They're poised to really improve their ratings, which were already up from last year. and year over year. And I think she's sort of aware of if the league has a huge year and if the numbers sort of back up what they're trying to do, they might be able to cash in even more than they thought they were going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Schiffer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And again, shout out Liz.
The Arizona Coyotes are on the cusp of moving to Utah, with Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith set to buy the team for $1 billion, plus a relocation fee of $200 to $300 million. This was a team that had to go somewhere. They had been playing in the 5,000-seat Mullet Arena at Arizona State since last season, which has a capacity that is one-third the size of the next smallest NHL arena. Last year, voters rejected a proposal that would have had the team build a new arena and entertainment district in Tempe, at which point the NHL started to look into options outside the area. The team will share the Delta Center with the Utah Jazz starting next season. In March, the state of Utah passed legislation appropriating up to $900 million toward developing an area in Salt Lake City. That could eventually include a new arena for one or both teams, and perhaps a baseball stadium if the city can score an expansion team. Despite all of this, hope for an NHL team in Arizona is not dead. As part of the sale, Coyotes owner Alex Marullo will retain the rights to the team name, and he will be first in line for an expansion team, which would come with an expected $1 billion expansion fee, contingent on Marullo building a new arena between now and 2029. Smith reportedly preferred getting an expansion team to a relocated team, but by taking this deal, he gets a team much more quickly, and he doesn't have to compete with every other city that wants one. The NBA play-in tournament starts tonight. The tournament has the 7th through 10th best teams in each conference play three games to decide the final two seeds in each conference. This has become a major feather in the cap of the NBA as it negotiates its next round of media rights deals. The Lakers' win over the Timberwolves in the play-in last year drew 3.5 million viewers on average, which is more than twice the viewership the league was seeing on nationally televised games this season. The league is looking to build on its playoff average last year of 5.5 million viewers. We'll have a good chance to do that with the Celtics and Knicks coming in as the top two seeds in the East. In the West, the league may quietly be hoping for the Lakers and Warriors to come out of the play-in tournament so that they have two more marquee teams from robust markets in the first round. Getting into the first round also produces a windfall for teams, who keep 75% of ticket revenue during the playoffs, with the league taking the rest. This weekend, the NHL playoffs will begin with 16 teams competing to lift the most revered trophy in sports, the Stanley Cup. But the cup itself doesn't just stay in a display case until the final games. It travels quite a lot, and looking after it is a job shared by several people. I spoke to cup keeper Mira Bitov on what it's like to care for the cup as it goes to games, events, and bars across the world. That conversation is next. All right, I'm very excited to be joined now by cup keeper and archivist at the Hockey Hall of Fame, Mira Bitov. Welcome, Mira.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you on. So I know your main role is that you're an archivist at the Hockey Hall of Fame, but I'm curious about your role as a cup keeper. So what does it entail to, you know, look after the Stanley Cup?
Well, it is an exciting job for sure. Taking care of the Stanley Cup, being the custodians of all the NHL trophies that include the Stanley Cup, we get to travel to all the places where the team wants to bring it after they've won the championship. So it's a really exciting part of seeing what everybody chooses to do with their day with the cup. And there's always somebody from our crew with it. Wherever it goes, we go. It's on the plane with us. It's, you know, at the hotels and all the dinners or parties that the players want to go to and stuff. And so, yeah, we get to get alongside and be a fly on the wall to their days.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And yeah, for people who don't know, the NHL has this excellent tradition of every player on the winning team gets to spend a day with the actual Stanley Cup. Are there limits on where the players can and can't bring the cup?
Geographically, no, not really. They try and schedule the summer travel based on, geography, of course. You know, if we're headed to Manitoba, let's try and do that one or two times instead of six separate visits. And same thing goes for if it's headed over to Europe. This past year, it was more North American stops. There were, I think, 18 players on the Vegas Golden Knights that were Canadian, and plus, you know, add in scouts and ownership as well. So There were quite a few Canadian, but North American stops as well. But otherwise, in terms of their day is really up to them, what they want to do and how they choose to spend it. So there's usually a community component to it, you know, maybe taking it back to the local arena where you first grew up playing hockey. Some, you know, small towns may do a little parade or event. And then it's a family component, you know, maybe some private time with direct family. And then it usually inevitably ends up in a party.
And do you have to keep a close eye on it? I mean, if it's being passed around a bar or something, is a cup keeper always kind of hovering right nearby?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So there are two of us that generally go to any given day with the cup. And the two of us can, you know, trade off a little bit or take a look at what the crowd's looking like or where we need to be. But generally, we're sort of within arm's reach. And everybody's quite respectful of it. Honestly, it's such a unique trophy and celebration that these players get that no other professional sports league really engages in. So I'd say the reverence really takes care of the work for us in a lot of cases, but we are nearby just in case.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And such a minutia question, but just traveling with the cup, like what kind of, does it get its own seat? Like how do you like ensure that, you know, this very revered object, you know, can go across country and, you know, probably into some small towns and, you know, how do you make sure that it's always, you know, doesn't get dinged up?
Yeah, well, so it's got a pretty heavy duty travel case to it, a case on wheels. So it's a bit recognizable if hockey fans are walking through the airport and you see one of us cruising through with the case. It is recognizable for sure. But we put it on the plane, oversized baggage, really. Now we have, you know, an air tag on it or a tag on it, so we can watch on the GPS if it's actually made the flight with us or not. But generally, the airlines have been really good about making sure that they know where it is. And, you know, we'll often get people from the tarmac come up to the gate and say, okay, it's on board. You know, it's a little peace of mind as well.
Mm-hmm. But it's just in there with, you know, everyone else's oversized luggage. It's
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, wow. You know, there are legs on smaller planes where it will be in the cabin with us. Mm-hmm. If you know, we're headed to more remote places where you need a smaller plane, then it'll be on with us, but still in its case.
Okay, yeah. I'm just having visions of, you know, like car seats and, you know, whatever else. And then there's the Stanley Cup just also.
Yeah, it is unmarked. So, you know, I don't think it would make for a very good photograph under the belly of the plane. It wouldn't be very recognizable, but it's always fun to be able to watch through the window and watching it actually board the plane with your luggage. So that's always a good peace of mind too.
And for the playoffs itself, you know, which we're getting close to, do the cup keeper role only kind of come into play when we get to the final series?
No, we actually travel full year with the Stanley Cup. So the Stanley Cup also outside of the championship team commitments, the team gets about 100 days with it after they've won the championship. But the rest of the year, it's on the road as well, doing community events, sponsorships and charities for the NHL and the Hockey Hall of Fame. So it really is traveling full year. But you can see that the excitement leading up to the playoffs, of course. You know, we all are wondering where we're going to be this summer and who we're going to be celebrating, watching celebrate. And so that's, you know, exciting. Right now it's starting on the media tours, heading to some US and Canadian media center cities where playoffs are quite a big thing, of course. It's going to be making some media stops just for sports networks and whatnot throughout North America.
And I'm curious about your role as an archivist with the NHL. So you know, what kind of things do you do at the Hall of Fame?
So I'm the archivist for the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we cover every level of hockey worldwide. So a lot of people think of course, the NHL is a huge part of what we do, but our role at the Hockey Hall of Fame is to cover the history of the game worldwide and at every level. So behind me, I don't know if you can see it, but I've got a goalie stick from the first ever women's team in Pittsburgh in the 1970s, a ragtag group of girls and women who wanted to play hockey. We're covering that as well as right next to me, I'm looking at the Australian Championship from 2023. So history that was written literally months ago in August, they won this championship. So my role is to document the history of hockey. And a lot of these items that arrive on my desk, it's not necessarily overly obvious what it is or well documented. So it's up to me and our department to really craft the history and what people are going to be reading about this these items, you know, 50 plus years down the road. So we take that, you know, quite seriously here. It's great.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about how people are going to be remembering this year in hockey, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the PWHL, you know, the first women's hockey league to really take hold in the U.S. Have you got any items from there?
Yeah, we do. So they actually also participated in the NHL All-Star Game weekend, which was in Toronto, where I'm based. And so they did a showcase there for fans. So we got items from that showcase game. We also have their first win and shutout stick, first goal puck. We're working on jerseys. Hopefully by the end of the season, we can get some jerseys in as well. And yeah, to craft exactly part of that history. It's a huge story, obviously, and we're very near to it with a team in Toronto. But it's been really neat to see and, you know, watch it grow over the, throughout just the season alone.
And yeah, are there other parts of, you know, this year in hockey or this, you know, little era in hockey, that you're collecting and archiving that, you know, what else is part of this story?
Well, not only this year, but I mean, hockey as a whole with the world being so interconnected, you know, based through the basis of computers and video and statistical analyses that are so readily available to us now, it is, you know, it's really interesting to be able to see what we can document day to day, really. And we receive things, it's all donation. We're a charity at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And so everything is donated to us, and you might get something from, you know, honestly, grandma's basement, or you might get something where a player walks in the door themselves. You know, Vegas Golden Knights were just here last month and had something, some items for us. There was a goalie goal this year, Tristan Jarry from Pittsburgh Penguins. So he gave us, you know, his gloves from that game. You honestly, you don't know what's going to walk in the door. And sometimes it's fun to uncover or undo the puzzle of where this item came from. Other times it's obvious, you know, the exact minute or record that was broken or scored that night. So, you know, being based in Toronto right now, we're watching the Austin Matthews goal scoring campaign that's going on here. But we're watching every level. It's been such a great season in the NHL for scoring as well. So it's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And before we let you go, just what are you most excited for these upcoming NHL playoffs?
Honestly, I just love good hockey. I love watching it. I love getting behind teams, you know, underdogs, or it might not even be, you know, my regular team that I score for. I just kind of like the feeling of going into the playoffs, and then just imagining what's going to go on this summer and what these people, you know, not only as athletes but as humans, who are they going to celebrate this victory with? It's culminating into, you know, some of the biggest moments of their careers. And I just like thinking of the human aspect of it and not just the product necessarily on TV, but yeah, just seeing what these people are going to do.
Mira Bitov, really enjoyed the chat. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much.
That's it for today. Leave us a rating or review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow.